All right, everybody, we're talking about the Sims of the Father with an N. Just in case that word, it's from season 3, episode 17 of the Star Trek The Next Generation. And it's around more episodes, so you know it's going to be good. And this continues kind of our getting to know Klingons a little bit better series, and Romulans a little bit less so, because, you know, they're still in the neutral zone, or on the other side of the neutral zone. And we have kind of Worf to help us ease our, you know, get to know things. Stardate, according to Captain's Log, is like 4368 5.2 or something. And we get an update on the exchange program. A Klingon's going to be the first officer. This is when Riker and Picard are walking. Use the term patronize. We'll go through some of the dialogue. Commander Kern, I think, is the name of the person. What does it say? Request energize? Maybe something like that. It's not O'Brien working in this whatever transporter room. They put teleport here. Question that we'll answer later is, how long are shifts on the Enterprise? Because that came up. So Kern comes in. He says, right, because he's going to be the first officer. He says, you're relieved, bruh. Yeah, then he says he's ready for duty. This is really, there's a lot of, this is so definitely worth watching, not for just the story and the content, but for the moments, holy moments. Just some classic exchanges. So he says he's ready for duty. He has a stare down like, what up, Riker? I'm in charge now, as they walk out of the transporter room. Then he gives a speech on the bridge, which is, he's no joke, this Klingon. He is a Commander Kern. Discipline, not what you're used to. What would... Oh, this is like stuck out to me. So Wesley and Data are whispering, and you say WTF, like no whispering on the bridge, especially when your new commander's speaking. And I don't know what, I mean, Wesley's a young person. So, but Data, I said, Data, what are you doing whispering with Wesley when your new commander? It's just it seemed like a lack of respect to me. Or, I mean, I guess it's like a foreshadowing a bit, and kind of a, like a, not a mini B plot, more of a plot to a misdirect plot. But I mean, I would send them to the break. I mean, no offense. I mean, I would get in trouble for whispering all the time too. Crow awards orders, crew awaits orders, at 2:35, I think it's 2:45 because I'm looking, maybe not 2:35. Oh, no, yeah, it is 2:35. Kern sits down, a really classic moment worth watching. They head to the outer commentary cloud, which is hard to say because it's commentary, not commentary. But Picard is impressed, and then the episode opens. Let's see if there's any, they're reflecting on Riker's time at the pod. I'm going through the dialogue now. Be sure the crew's prepared for any unusual orders. Kern's probably studied before he got here. He requested Enterprise specifically. He comes on board. He's rocking his belt and everything. A yielding first officer, may I take my station? Riker says, what if I show you your room? He goes, dude, I'm here to work, not to lie around. Then he says, yeah, you're going to address me commander or sir at all times. I know all of the Starfleet. I know your files. And with your permission, Captain, you know, I'll be a disciplinarian. And then he says, when Wesley's, he says, we'll see if you live up to your reputations. What are you doing whispering, Crusher? You got something to say? No. And then they head out. Okay, then we're at 9 forward. Is that what it's called? 10 forward. I'm only welcome at 4 forward, 4 below. Like they say, you scooch your band from 10 forward, 9 forward, 7, 6. They say you could go to 4 below. Which is like a below deck hangout. It's just, it was formerly a broom closet. And that's where me and Stan hang. Okay, they're at the bar. Riker goes up to Will. He does his classic legs swing. Wes has a suck it face. Then Jordy comes in also very grouchy. And I don't normally comment. Jordy's like, we're going to have to work double shifts. Even Riker gives a big sigh. But these staffers are weak, man. I was not impressed at how, because they say, Riker goes, let me get this conversation with Wesley. Something up with Commander Kern? Yeah, I can't do anything right. He's on my case. And then Riker says, problem, Jordy? He goes, yeah, with, he goes, what, did they find something in engineering? He goes, yeah, inspection, while we're doing maintenance. And he goes, oh, we don't do inspections during maintenance. And Riker goes, well, Riker first is like, well, it's different. They believe in strict formality of command. And Jordy goes, this isn't a Klingon vessel. He's got to loosen up. Kind of like he's a new cabin counselor or something. Wesley, they're like, he's on everybody's case except for one person who wouldn't mind it. Then we go to Worf. Let's see. And this is like the most non-passive aggressive, just a full passive. Kern's going full baby mode on Worf. He goes, oh, very good. You handled that well. Worf's face at 640 is worth about $1 million. Then we switch to Riker and, I'll go through the dialogue, but Riker's like picking his below his lip, thinking on the elevator. I'll also put down that Tony Todd is the actor playing Kern, a very famous actor. 156 trip to captain's mess for me. I don't know if that's a number. This was the first time I went to the captain's mess in an episode, I think. A suggestion, question mark? Okay, Riker kind of has to talk, violate chain of command. Wasn't anybody paying attention when that fish dude that was on that episode recently? It was the same episode Riker was on the thing, but Riker raises his voice. I said, WTF, dude, what kind of Starfleet third command are you? Riker glares. Then we're at the officer's mess, turkey and comedy. Well, this was one thing I thought was funny. I didn't put the time at this, but Data's standing by. So I just presume Data doesn't eat. This is another thing I just don't know. And I could probably learn that if I paid attention or anything. But he's standing right by the turkey. Of course, Pat Picard's carving a turkey. I put buy the food like a goof. He's just standing there. This is kind of awkward. I say, okay, I'm only comfortable talking to this person, and now they're carving the turkey. Better stand by them while they carve the turkey. We get a Caspian Sea shout-out. Let's see. Oh, yeah, Worf and Kern. Oh, great job. Very good. You've handled that well. Worf doesn't like how easy he's going on him. Okay, Riker says to Kern on the elevator, or whatever that thing is called, You're very impressive, your knowledge, but I'd like to make a suggestion. The dude's like, a suggestion, bruh. Haven't you been on a, like, really? I mean, I think if, like, some people might handle it more diplomatically, but I think even Picard would be like, he told the blue guy, yeah, talk to Worf, he's your commander. But Riker says, Riker's being passive aggressive. He goes, oh, when I was on board the pod, it was hard for me to adjust to the crew, you know. I had to adjust to who I am. Maybe that would, I could help you. And the guy goes, no, thanks. And Riker goes, yeah, this isn't a Klingon ship, by the way, a super pet. And then he goes, yeah, now you would know it if it was, because you'd already be outside floating by. Then we have to a comedy about the turkey and the replicator. I did find it strange that Kern doesn't like, what do you call that, caviar, because he said, well, I want something a little bit more edgy. So I thought that was, and then Data tries to explain that. A lot of fun, really, this was your comic relief scene. They sit down to eat. He doesn't like the food. They say, Troy says, how are things going? He goes, well, I almost had to take, you know, Riker. He says, it's just a really good scene. And Picard has to bring everybody in line. He says, yeah, the exchange program is about tolerance. And he goes, shaking up the status quo. And then Geordi and Riker still can't let it go. Riker has to say, well, he's keeping us on our toes. Geordi goes, and then some, no offense. And he goes, yeah, none taken right now, but I won't forget it, Geordi. And yeah, he goes, if we were on another ship, you'd be in big, big trouble. And then Caspian Sea, let's see. Orchids are on the table. Oh, it looks like they were drinking fruit punch or something out of flutes. Also, everyone seemed like they had potatoes and broccoli. Both, that's great. Like boiled or steamed potatoes. Smaller ones, like a selection of colorful ones. I don't know if people call those new potatoes. I don't know why they got the term new potatoes. They say, oh, it's not one of these regular old-fashioned kind. It's a new potato. It's purple, red, and other colors. A dude would be good. Oh, yeah, this guy, maybe he wasn't. But this character, Kern, would be great in Game of Thrones. He's got a little bit of Tormund going, early Tormund. Too bland, Geordi. Geordi goes, the food. Geordi also steps on some feet. He goes, when Kern says, this food's too bland, he goes, Worf seems to love our food. And they say, Geordi, duh, like, seems, okay, then Worf, seems to agree with Worf. Then we're at Kern's room, doorbell rings, he says, enter, it's Worf. His hands are behind his back. Kern kicks back in a chair to listen. Then they kind of go back and forth like an old married couple. Mev, yap. This is a purpose for Carve, Leaguer, old broomstick. I don't know. That is a purpose for Cavalier and older Browski. Fitting in details. Big news. The challenge, question mark, big music. Maybe it's older brother? That is the purpose, repose for Kevlog or an older Broski, fitting in details. I mean, basically what happens is Worf says, dude, why are you on my not on my case by being on my case? And they go back and forth about being a true Klingon. Worf kind of goes, Klingon, and he goes, by the way, he goes, it wasn't being hard on you. I just wanted to check if you were a real Klingon. You had the heart of Klingon, because that's what I would expect from my brother. And they go, then they fill in, oh, yeah, I was one when you went to Kitmer. Mother and father were just supposed to be a quick work trip. Now stay in Lorg. And that was just, then Worf goes, geez, I'd heard you weren't around anymore. And they said, yeah, they thought I was Lorik's kid when nobody came back here. And he goes, that's why you're on the Enterprise, keep an eye on me. He goes, well, I want to see what kind of Klingon you were. And he goes, well, you're deceiving me. He goes, well, it's required. He goes, because your curiosity. He goes, no. The challenge to Klingon High Council. Father's a traitor. So that's a big music. Then Picard and Worf are meeting. There's slow zooms on both of them. As Worf says, my dad's been set up or something, so I got to go defend his honor. And Picard goes, well, what do you know? He goes, not much. I'll find out. Duras was my father's rival. He goes, it'll disgrace our name for 7 generations. I got to clear it. Picard goes, well, if I understand it correctly, at first he goes, yeah, I'm responsible for my father's mistakes. He goes, will you grant me a leave? And Picard goes, no, you know, respected member of my crew is in a fix here. And your actions reflect on me and the Federation, so I should go with you. Be at your side. And so there was like a touching moment. There's a lot of nice touching moments, especially with Picard and Worf. Will you grant me leave? No. Bridge, Kern, Empire, great look at 1545. 9-4, the brothers talk, Chadich. Worf does the tough lean in. On this ship, I obey you, but as Chadich, you obey me. Yes, brother. Then we see the Enterprise over a greenish-blue planet, lightning, temples, we're on, cloud, mist music, then Riker, Worf, Picard, and Kern, which, again, always seems like, yeah, you just send everybody down there, they go right into a courtroom, and Worf goes and makes a speech. So let's see, on the bridge, they go to the first city of the Klingon Imperial Empire. And they kind of Worf and Kern talk at 9-4, 10 forward, or 4 below. I need a Chadich. Will you be my Chadich? Yes. Sons of Moog or Mog, stand together, family honor. And Worf goes, no, you're going to keep it quiet. You're my Chadich. I'm going to take the heat. You're still whoever that other dude's kid is. Also thinking, which we kind of already knew, is that Picard has a lot of latitude with Starfleet to kind of do missions. I guess it kind of is a diplomatic mission. So when court starts, Worf says, yeah, I'm son of Moog. I'm challenging this case. And they say, are you prepared to take on things if the case doesn't work out? He goes, oh, yeah. And he says, who are you? And Kern goes, I'm Chadich, man. I'm Worf's Chadich. And this Duras is a real, real J-E-R to the K. On Worf's case, talking, hear my own request. Picard's here. He goes, so what are you wearing a kid's uniform for with the outsiders? He goes, dude, I'm Jean-Luc Picard. And Picard, because we've done a lot, Worf's done a lot, very proud of him, and we're here to help. And the head of Kempek or whatever says, okay, I could see this, your commanding officer. And Duras goes, so at some point the truth has got to come out, and now it has that Moog sold us out to the Romulans of all people. And even takes Worf's thing off. And Worf goes, the day isn't over, bruh. Like, just wait. And then they say, well, let's take a break and we'll do the case later. Let's see, where are we? Calls out Worf up in his grill, takes off sash, good day, recess, back to the bridge. They go back to the bridge. Picard goes, stay to get on it, do this. Computers, give me these reports. Troy was with Picard, so I assume he was also consulting her before the scene started. You know, give me a breakdown of the head of the judge and high counsel and Duras. Worf and the judge just speak alone. Oh, someone also hands a secret note to Kern, like, hey, meet me at the playground in 20 minutes. And the head judge, he says, why'd you bring a challenge? Why does it even matter, man? You don't even live here anymore because it's my father. And he goes, let the past be. Mechba, I think maybe that's that dude's name. He goes, why are you going to dishonor my dad? And then Data and Riker are doing some research, and then they call it Dr. Crusher even. So really, this has happened before, where you see everybody gets behind the person who needs it. I guess Geordi wasn't there, but they say they don't know if they needed any engineering help. Or Wesley. I'm just laughing at the facts, but what does that say? I don't know. Then there's a secret meeting with Kern and I think Duras. He goes, we know you're Worf's brother, man. We're all, ha, ha, ha. Give up the case. He goes, no, he's my brother. And then they try to send him to the Klingon, the equivalent of the big farm in the sky for Klingons. And they go to a commercial. When we come back, we realize he's okay. He's at the med bay under Dr. Crusher's care. But they say, geez, Duras already knows he's my brother. And Crusher goes, Worf, you sound like you already lost. I thought you were Worf, Positivity City. And everyone giggles at that. Then Data has some proof. He says, he goes, look at it, I got some, he goes, actually, according to Moogs, he goes, I got all these communication databases, right? And he goes, Moog did send the, like, shield codes out. He goes, these are the real records. It's Geordi and Riker, I think, helping him. Oh, so Geordi is helping. I'm sorry, Geordi. I forgot about you there. But then they say, well, there's gaps in the logs. Then Geordi goes, the timestamps fall out of sync. Really, you're digging into the metadata. And so they go, this has got to be a cover-up. The timestamps should have never fallen out of sync because they were in sync at one point, and then when the gaps occur, they fall out of sync. Yeah, then we have Picard and Worf. Because cover-up city, yo. We'll do some of that dialogue. Not Duras, but the whole city council. Picard's the new Chadich. I ask you, I'd like the gesture. Oh, this is a really touching scene. Okay, so Picard and Worf are in Picard's ready room or his office, right? And it's a bit like Winter Soldier, maybe, because he says, this is a cover-up, man. This is goes to the top from the bottom, I think. And we'll figure it out, though. It goes, could be the whole council involved. And then Worf goes, well, I lost my Chadich. I got to pick a new one. I'd like to pick someone from the crew. And Picard goes, choose whoever you wish. He goes, I choose you. Just like, he goes, remember that Simpsons episode where Ralph Wiggum gave Lisa, or Lisa gave Ralph Wiggum a Valentine that said, I choose you. He goes, I choose you as my Chadich. Choose my Chadich. That was a hit. And he goes, well, don't you want someone tougher? And right, Worf goes, dude, anybody tougher than you? Someone smoother? Worf goes, well, you're smoother than Riker, really. Someone cooler? And Worf goes, I can't ask a cucumber, you know, because they're not a member of the crew. They're a replicated vegetable from Earth. And Picard knows some Klingon, so he says, I accept. Worf does say, I can think of no one I'd rather have at my side. Big breath on the acceptance from Picard. Okay, then we're at Picard, or then we're back in court. Picard and Worf, Worf goes, my challenge will proceed. And then Duras is disrespecting everybody or whatever. And they say, what are you doing here? This isn't a spaceship, Picard. He goes, I'm not here to command. I'm the Chadich. Yeah, they say, Starfleet does not teach you or something. Somebody says, you're not, are you really tough? Obviously, Picard goes, you may test that assumption, something, we'll look at that, but it reminds me, I wonder if the episode with young Picard was before or after this, because when you've seen young Picard, you say, well, that's a mistake, but Picard's B to the A to the D to the A to the double, S's. Crusher tells Riker, oh, is this like, maybe, I don't know if this is the scene or not, this is on the ship. Crusher calls Riker and says she found a clue on the Klingon Central Net. So this was, again, how forward-thinking the show was. Then we go to Duras making the case for the cover-up. Starfleet doesn't teach you to be tough. Picard says, you may test that assumption at your convenience. So, yeah, then they find out that they kind of have, someone that worked with Worf's family. Then Duras, totally makes the case. We also learn, much like grandparents and, with the phones in movie theaters, Picard doesn't realize in the middle of a court case he should have his communicator on vibrate. Or on not on speakerphone when he answers it. He could answer with his headset and say, okay, okay. Back, but he puts it on speaker, Yeah, I think he had it on, oh, like, one of those Next, what those, remember those phones that were also walkie-talkies? But Riker calls, he goes, dude, we got a crack in this case, Commander. Picard goes, sorry, I'm in the middle of a, you know, Supreme Court case. Let me, and I'm Chad Each, let me just sneak over here. Calest, was someone, Picard tells Worf then, I got to go meet Calest in the old quarter. This is another great moment. 3245, Worf goes, I don't know if that's a good idea, you go into the old quarter. Picard goes, hey, I'm your Chad Each, all smooth and calm. But Duras's lackeys are watching. We go to a commercial. Then I said, holy return of the Jedi, for real. Because Picard's in full Luke Skywalker at Jabba's palace in Jedi undercover mode. Except he's more in a green quilt. And he goes up to Kala's house. She says, what do you want? Picard goes, who's the traitor? She goes, I don't know. But Picard knows there's something up. He goes, well, then Worf's in trouble. I got to leave. She goes, leave then, Jadich. And Picard goes into the mist. He goes, well, I guess Worf's case is lost then. And then he has a showdown with Duras's minions. And they get a taste of the old flyboy Picard from back in the day. And when Picard needs his own shot, each Calest comes out in her bathrobe and sweeps it up. And then Picard gets an idea. He says, Calest, what if we just shake loose the truth? She goes, what do you mean? He goes, you ever see a Tom Cruise movie with Jack Nicholson? All good men or something. It's called A Few Good Men. It's called. And she goes, it hasn't come out yet. He goes, well, this will be a plot point, and it actually has, but and you're right, depending on the timeline. He goes, we'll close this case. He goes, just like they did, it'll work. And then Picard rolls in, just different than the movie, but it seems similar. He rolls into court. He goes, I got an eyewitness, yo. And an open counsel, Duras, talks about Calest, but the judge knows her. They used to date. He goes, it's good to see you again. And then they sit down for a private meeting, and he goes, I asked you guys to leave. Now it's come to this. And it turns out that the whole thing is a cover-up for Duras's dad because he's rich and powerful, typical, and, you know, Duras is a little B-R-A to the T. Then Picard goes, well, then Worf's challenge is successful. And the dude goes, there was no challenge. This was whatever, a straw trial or whatever they call it. And then we get a taste of Picard outrage, which is, you know, always good. Let's see if we can dig up the thing. Because the total thing with Calus works, where they just bring her in for a minute and they go, well, we just know what she knows. We'll just go to the press, you know, more or less like that. You know, if you won't do it in open court. But he goes, okay, so then the judge says, we just can't do this. It'll cause, he goes, don't you know, didn't your country once have whatever they're called, whatever they were called, you know, wherever all, and they go, oh, yeah, that's, who do you think owns the company that makes all the replicators? Anyway, so then everybody has a laugh. And they say, so Picard goes, you can't make judgments here. We'll break up with the Federation. He goes, you can't just make orders, Picard. And Picard goes, the alliance with the Federation is not based on nonsense, Kempek. You could keep your secrets, but you can't, you know, railroad this case and Worf and his brother. And Worf sets up, he says, and then Picard says, don't, Worf. And he goes, Chadich will be silenced. He goes, cover him up for my brother. Let him live his life. And I'll take the blame. And Duras goes, no. And Worf goes, I'll give you even something better. Discommendation. And Duras goes, in open court? He goes, yeah, I'll take it. I'll blame my dad. And this really gets to Justice's thing. He goes, wow, you really are a Klingon at heart. You're putting a Klingon homeworld in the aristocracy. You know, just like everywhere else, the aristocracy first, you know, to keep the peace for everybody. And then Worf rolls in up on Duras and goes, well, even though your daddy's rich, he's the one that caused the Kittmer thing. Don't forget about that. And then somebody says, no, I'm ready. Let's see. Oh, then his now Worf says, now I'm ready. Then his brother's like, why are you going to do this cover up? Why are you going to cover up for me? I want to get blamed too. He goes, No, Picard has to tell his brother. He goes, he needs you, man. There's going to be another day. Don't forget this. We're going to make a comeback on this one. And they do a nod. And then everybody turns their back on, everybody in the High Council turns their back on Worf, crosses their arms, turns their back. Even his brother has to, because he's been, you know, hexed out or whatever. And then Worf and Picard energize out, and the episode comes to a close. In what was a very classic, amazing episode of Star Trek. Yeah, no, it was Star Trek. No, why my brain went on that. Okay, let's look at our notes. For SAT and patronize is a good word. Because we have patrons, it's to act as a patron, supporter, sponsor, to go as a customer on a regular basis, or to treat in a condescending nature. It's just ironic, like the word gets used both ways. I guess like to be a patron and with irony, you know, passive aggressive irony or something, like insincerely. But that's spelled P-A-T-R-O-N-I-Z-E, patronize. Okay, look, I wanted to look up shifts on Enterprise. Let's see, technical data, physical arrangement, operations. The bulk of the people on Enterprise could get off in 4 minutes, which would happen at Starbase 74. There's places people could hide out. Shipboard life, average day aboard the ship. This was like in Data's day. 4 birthdays, 2 transfers, 2 chess tournaments, school play, promotions, and a birth. The Enterprise normally ran on 3 shifts. Increasing to 4 shifts caused scheduling problems, like in chain of command. So usually it's 3 shifts, which makes sense. Those are 8, 16, 24. Commanders of ensign rank were required to share crew quarters, but were allowed their own quarters upon promotion to lieutenant junior grade. Families shared quarters. 10 forward was the center of the ship's social activity. 4 below was where scoots went. And holodecks were on 10 and 12, which I always wondered, for crew, entertainment for the crew, it says there, though. Oh, here's the ship's directory. This is interesting. Deck 2, Worf and Data had the rooms. Deck 7, maybe Worf had his room at another point. Deck 8, Troy, Riker, they were only 1 room apart, according to this, 9, 10, and 9-12. Crusher's quarters, Troy's office, Roe, Lauren's quarters, also deck 9, could have been Troy's quarters, Jean-Luc Picard's and 3601, which could be on deck 9, Crusher could be on deck 9. So this is interesting. 3 shifts, which I've worked at places that had shifts, and normally they weren't 9-to-5 shifts. I think they ended at 3, a lot of them. And they were in the county. So I don't know if they were 8-hour shifts anyway. Maybe they're 8.5 or 9 because you don't get, you got to work your lunch break. I think you work 8.5 hours. You're at work for 9. I can't remember. think you had to be at work for 9 hours because you got a 15, two 15 minute breaks and a half hour unpaid lunch. So 8.5 hours, I guess. But that also gives you overlap when you're switching. So 7 to 3, 3 to 11, and then 11 to 7. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they were on Enterprise because they simulated. I think they said simulated days. Okay, let's talk about the great Tony Todd. Who's like so many movies, a lot of movies we've seen, but like he was a voice in Transformers, and he's just been in a lot of movies. Like all the other movies are great movies. He's from the Eugene O'Neill National Actors Theater Institute. Grew up in D.C. and Hartford, Connecticut. He's been in movies, films, and he's in a movie coming out next year. But he's also been on tons of TV, Boston Public, Law and Order, Hercules, Xena, X-Files, Smallville, Psych, 24, Charmed, Stargate, Andromeda, Minds, 21 Jump Street, Chuck. He played two different roles on 24. So that's interesting. He's in Star Trek, Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Online. So definitely someone you're like, holy cow. Okay. I know exactly who that is. When you see it, Caspian Sea, is the world's largest inland body of water. It could be the largest lake or full-fledged sea. It's a basin without outflows. It's located between Europe and Asia, on this broad steppe of Central Asia. It's 143,000 square miles, 371,000 kilometers. That doesn't count the detached lagoon. It has 1.2% salinity. It's a third of seawater. Kazakhstan on the northeast, Russia to the northwest, Azerbaijan to the west, Iran to the south, Turkmenistan to the southeast. Well known for a lot of animal and plant diversity. It has its main freshwater inflows from the Volga River, which enters at the shallow north end. Let's see what else. I just want to talk about it. Its formation is a remnant of an ancient sea. Its seafloor is the oceanic basalt, and not continental granite. It got landlocked over 5.5 million years ago due to tectonic uplift and the fall in the sea level. Largest inland body of water, 40 to 44% of the total lacustrine waters of the world. So cool. I mean, I love the sea. Its characteristics common to seas and lakes. This is all from Wikipedia. It's not a freshwater lake, but it contains 3.5 times more water than all of the Great Lakes combined. And the sea level has risen and fallen over the history of it. And it has a lot of flora and fauna. You can read more about it if you have our link. Let's see what we got. 44 minutes here. So let's do a few good men, and then we'll see what else we have. Now, I was really surprised. I didn't see this. This is a movie that came out in 1992. I would have bet 99. And one of the reasons it's so catchy is it was written by Aaron Sorkin, which I didn't know. He originally had a play by this name. And it's a classic. Again, I thought it was more modern than 92, which tells me that a lot of people probably haven't seen it. It's Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson, Demi Moore. It's a Rob Reiner film. Kevin Bacon, Kevin Pollak. Kiefer Sutherland's even in it. James Marshall, J.T. Walsh, Wolfgang Bodison act in it. It's produced by Castle Rock, distributed by Columbia. Came out in the holiday season in 92. A little bit over 2 hours. Budget was like 30 to 40 mil. Made 240 plus in the box office. And contains, you know, "You can't handle the truth" is the most famous line from the movie. But again, really had this, really, if you haven't seen it, it's a movie worth checking out. I remember the last time I watched it, it was probably in the last 5 years, maybe 6 years. And again, I was somewhere else where I had something to do. And then it came on like cable, probably at a hotel room or something. And I just got sucked right in. And I said, "Wow, I forgot how good this is." And a lot of the roles, like I think Demi Moore and Kevin Pollak's roles are definitely very underrated. So definitely a movie worth checking out. Let's see what else. Oh, the Kitmer incident or whatever. Let's look that up. Or Kitmer. It's an inhabited planet in the Kitmer system. And it was a vital role in the Klingon Federation Alliance, as well as the site of the Kitmer conference. Because when the Romulans snuck in there, let's see, I think that's like, it was a neutral site for the Federation of the Klingon Empire. This is like 2293, near the Romulan border. And that's when they had a conference there, the Kitmer Accords. And then in 2346, the Klingons had a colony there, and then some Romulans snuck in. And I guess that was like whatever his name is, Dad, and not Worf's dad, who's fully innocent, of course. But yeah, it's it was also in novels and a few other episodes. But yeah, I did want to learn a little bit about that. Let's see. What about Prince Caspian? To be Prince Caspian, float upon the waves as fish sings. I think this is from the film, though. This is a fictional character in the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. Noble, handsome, brave, and merry, strives for fairness and justice. Devoted king, also known as Caspian the Seafarer. A young nephew and heir to King Miraz of Narnia. 1,300 years have passed. Let's see. They have the mythical, when he's a small boy, he hears all the stories about the history. He has to deal with his uncle. I guess I don't want to do any of that. But he's in those books. Also was in, there's a television serial of it produced by the BBC. And then the movies, which didn't fully get made out. I don't see the movies listed here. Yeah, but that's a little bit about Prince Caspian. What about Klingon? Let's see. This is from Wikipedia page. They were developed in 1967 for the original Star Trek series. Feudal authoritarian warriors. And as the makeup effects things, they were redesigned for Star Trek the Motion Picture. That's when they got their foreheads. And kind of made out to be a little bit samurai-esque, I guess. And they were recurring antagonists in the 60s Star Trek and the feature films. Then in Next Generation, they became a close ally of humanity. And in the 90s in Deep Space Nine, they all joined together. Let's see. They have the Klingon language, which was developed by Mark Orkland, suggested by James Doohan. And it's one of the most, it is the most popular fictional language. Yeah, let's see, they were changed for the motion picture. And no Klingon characters were in Wrath of Khan, but they were in Search for Spock. And they got deeper depiction in The Next Generation with Worf. And let's see, there's a lot here, so I'll link to it. Changes in appearance, biology, robust and enduring biology. Let's see, the spiritual people that took over their own gods. They instead of the big farm in the sky, they can go to Stovor, Kor, or Greythor. So that's where, instead of the big farm, spiritual leaders, Kalas, messianic historical figure. She has her own sword, Sword of Kalas. And let's see, they have their own language, as we talked about. You know, they have their own ships, cloaking technology. Their homeworld has several names, just like we call Earth, Earth, or Terra. You know, they just call it home. What the heck? This is our home. Let's see. Yeah, that's about it. I'll link to that. That's just a little bit more about the Klingons. And yeah, so that's tonight's episode. Another great Worf-related one where we get to know Worf even better. So good night. Here's some thank yous.